Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly will be Jonathan Chan, also of FantasySixPack.net, bringing you all the weekend recap and the Bears and Redskins game is going on as we speak. And once again, it's for two Monday nights in a row. It's not the greatest football game in the world, but I can tell you that Taylor Gabriel is lighting it up for the Bears. Apparently, he continues to be one of Mitch Trubisky's favorite targets. And no, sadly, Anthony Miller doesn't seem to be any part of this offense. I think he had one catch, is what I'd seen. Anyways, I'd like to introduce my co-host. Kevin Kuo is off tonight. He has a lot of extra school work to do today. So it's just Jono and me this week. Jono, how are you doing, my man? Doing a little bit of baseball, some Jays prospects baseball all-star game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was my week. I spent last week at the Rogers Centre, downtown Toronto, commentating and writing about the Blue Jays' T12 tournament. So they take the top 150 prospects from around the country. They bring them together and they play in front of pro amateur scouts trying to show what they got. And three alumni from the tournament have made the major leagues. Atlanta Braves' Mike Soroka, Houston Astros' Abraham Toro, and the San Diego Padres' Josh Naylor were all part of this tournament when they started. And there's a few players coming up that are looking pretty promising.
Oh, that sounds pretty interesting. In the Rogers Center, did you, from your own scouting eyes, did any players stand out in this particular game?
Yeah, there are a couple of players. Look out for Connor O'Halloran. He's a pitcher. He's committed to Michigan right now. Son of a former major leaguer, he looked really good. The most dominant pitcher there, and outfielder Owen Casey. The entire tournament, he was again just dominant. He had power, speed. He won the home run derby, the prospect home run derby. He's the only person to reach double digits, and he looked good. He looked good.
Okay, awesome. Right. Well, we're a football show, so we're going to talk about NFL football and fantasy NFL football, of course.
I can do that too.
Yeah, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, I know. In this particular game, Chicago leads 28-15, and the Bears are dominating on at least they did in the first half. They're starting to wear down a little bit, but it seems like the Bears are mostly in control. Mitch Trubisky threw an interception late in the third quarter, which snuffed out a pretty good-looking drive, one of the few drives that I've seen Trubisky actually run to almost completion, but then he throws an interception, and that seems to be the end of that. Although his numbers in fantasy are a little bit better than what they've been in the first 2 weeks, at least he's getting over 10 point fantasy points, so he's close to 20. So he's doing a little bit better. Currently 14th overall for the week. So things are looking up ahead of a few important names like Jared Goff and Andy Dalton. He's ahead of them. Ahead of Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray didn't do so good this week. But we'll get into all that in just a moment. But first we'll talk about the news, shall we, Jono?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right, let's... First of all, I guess we should talk about, let's get this out of the way. Antonio Brown, out of football. I got a lot of people on Twitter who are very upset about this. Antonio Brown was a bit of a risk to draft, and now this player is gone. And a lot of people spent, I don't know about you, he went around sometimes second or third round in the drafts in August, would you say, John?
Yeah, he was going in the second round before all the first incidents came. Yeah. And then he started dropping and dropping. I think by the end of the helmet saga, he was like end of the fourth. I believe that's where he was.
Yeah, that's still a pretty high pick.
Yeah.
Right. And so people are losing a player. I think it hurts more that you're losing a player like that. It's really turned people off league fantasy. this sort of thing, because people feel like they kind of got cheated because they didn't know. Because a lot of people don't follow the news like we do. But Antonio Brown, out of football, he lashed out on Twitter at Ben Roethlisberger's situation when he was involved in some sort of problems. And he was lashing out at one of the commentators, Sterling Shepard, I believe. And there's just no – I think there's really something wrong with him. I mean, I wish him the best now. Well, I do and I don't. I think he's just become an annoyance. And I'm kind of glad he's out of football. It might help him just take a some time off and work his way back. In the sense, in the way of Josh Gordon. That is, if this his own allegations don't cross him up. So I don't know what your thoughts are about Antonio Brown. Think we've seen the last of him?
In the NFL, probably. I mean, he went on Twitter and went at Robert Kraft for the whole incident in Miami thing. And immediately after you get released, going after the guy that gave you that chance, after you worked your way out of Oakland and $30 million guaranteed, it's not a good look. I don't really see an NFL team taking a shot at, on him this year, at the very least. Maybe Washington. But no, this year I think he's done. And unless he can really prove for a whole offseason that he can not, you know, run his mouth on Twitter, then nobody's going to take the chance on him.
There was a massive hit he took from Vontaze Burfict some time ago, and a lot of people think that maybe affected him. Do you think that? Do you think there's any weight on that? Or
I mean, it's an idea, but there's nothing that anybody can prove, right? You can't just say for sure that hey, this is what kind of set him off. Maybe. You know, maybe he this was always him, and he just, you know, he made enough money and he decided that this is what he wanted to be, or this is who he wanted to be. You know, there's nothing you can quantifiably say, hey, Burfict hit him and it made him crazy. It's
more. Anyways, we shall end that topic and move on to the current situation. And, this weekend, we kind of knew there was something wrong with Cam Newton. And Kyle Allen stepped in and created, well, nobody's saying it right now, but I don't think anybody wants Cam to come back too soon until he's really ready, because Kyle Allen really played well. Granted, of course, it was against the Arizona Cardinals, and he got 19 of 26 passes for 261 yards and 4 touchdowns. So what are your thoughts on Cam, and you think he should stay out a little longer until he's really ready to come back? You think they should rush him back, or
rush him back for what? I mean, Kyle Allen's already showed that he's better than, you know, a healthy Kyle Allen is better than a hurt Cam Newton. So there's absolutely no reason to rush Cam back. He looked terrible in his first two games. Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore could be both, you know, top 15 receivers if Cam could actually hit them in stride, because there are a lot of open plays, especially in week two, where both Moore and Samuel lost on touchdowns because Cam just airmailed a pass or threw it behind them, or, you know, couldn't hit them in stride. And it's actually kind of sad to watch. Hopefully he takes a couple weeks off, gets healthy, and can come back and be, you know, the Cam that we know.
Yeah, I don't think they should rush Cam back. I think they could give Cam a little extra time. So I know he says he's supposed to be practicing on Wednesday.
They've already ruled him out for next week.
They have.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's good. Maybe even keep him on an extra week. I'm only saying that because in the Scotch Fishbowl, I picked up Kyle Allen on spec, actually. I picked him up on spec. I didn't have to pay for him. And because I kind of had a feeling Cam wasn't right after week one. So after week two, before the week two waivers, before waivers for week three, I picked up Kyle Allen, so he's on my team. So I would like to use him for a couple more weeks because he looked good. He looked good. Injury, the big injury this weekend, Saquon Barkley. Didn't look too bad. I mean, he hobbled over to congratulate Daniel Jones. Did you see that? He was, you know, he's going as fast as because he was in the walking boot with crutches, and he's just hopping across the field to congratulate Daniel Jones on a on his first victory. It's quite amazing, actually. We'll get to that in a bit. But Saquon Barkley out for 6 to 8 weeks, probably more. Thoughts on this injury, John? Quite unfortunate.
I mean, the injury, it's devastating. It's going to change the landscape of fantasy leagues, right? If you are first overall and you lose Saquon Barkley, what now? Your next player is, what, 24th, 25th overall? That's, yeah. Unless you're the late stages of your draft were great, you're probably going to be in some trouble now.
Yeah, that's one of the that's the downside of having early draft pick, of having the first round, like the first three draft picks. You really got to wait a long time for your next pick because you got the best player in the league. I never like having the first pick because if you lose that first pick, it is huge. And that was another thing people were griping about too. I'm quitting fantasy football. So people get really upset at all. It's not the first time it's happened. I think we've had top players get injured and removed before, like several times. Anyways, 6 to 8 weeks. Obviously, the pickup is Wayne Gallman. What's your thoughts on him, Jono?
I mean, Gallman's not a spectacular talent by any stretch of the imagination. But what he will have in favor of him is a reinvigorated Giants offense and volume. After Saquon went out, Gallman had all the backfield touches, didn't do a whole lot with them. I think he had 13 yards and 5 carries, but he's going to get the volume. And he has the Redskins next week. Then they've given up the second most rushing yards just next to Miami, which I don't know if I want to count Miami or not, but hey, it's an opportunity. And he obviously is a priority ad this week.
I'll have to check. I'm sorry, people. I don't know who the Giants have on their practice squad who they'll be calling up because usually they go to their practice squad first. Do you happen to know if they've got an RB on the practice squad?
Not off the top of my head.
No, I don't know either. But they will be picking somebody up. The only other running back the Giants have is Elijah Penny. And no word on who they have on their practice squad, but they will get somebody. Okay, let's take a look at the top performers this week. Obviously, the number two quarterback this week, Daniel Jones.
Gotta be a football hero to get along with a beautiful girl. Gotta be a touchdown getter, you bet, if you wanna get...
23 of 36, 361 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 carries for 28 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Fantasy beast on his first outing, Jono.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously blew everybody's expectations out of the water. Because he was kind of a running joke all throughout the offseason, and even on our show last week, we kind of panned the decision, saying he had no weapons to go to, but he looked very, very good, and his ownership numbers are going to skyrocket as well. Everybody that had Cam or Breeze or Big Ben, they're just going to be rushing out and they're going to be adding Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he looked good. And I even noticed in the preseason that he had poise. He was smooth. Kind of surprised me, really. I mean, he was finding like Cody Latimer. He was like landing passes just perfectly on the money. His first drive in preseason was absolutely perfect, textbook. And I thought, this guy's pretty calm in the pocket, almost too calm. And he still has this problem of being too relaxed. He's too relaxed. He forgets himself and he leaves the football a little bit in a precarious way where a defender can knock it out of his hand because he's so calm and relaxed. So he's got to kind of remember a little bit about ball security as a quarterback. But if that's the worst problem he's got, that's something that can be coached out. So other than that, I really think Daniel Jones, he deserved the win. I was really, when the Buccaneers were lining up for the field goal, I was hoping miss, 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 because I really wanted him to win. Because that final drive, you know, because he said he saw green grass all in front of him. He went in. Another thing about Daniel Jones that I kind of like too is that he's a battler. I mean, he says like he kind of rallied his team around him and says, come on, we can go get this done. We can win this. And he took the bull by the horns. And that's something Eli hadn't been doing for quite a long time. Eli's that kind of quarterback too, but Eli kind of has lost a bit of that motivation to really let's go in. It's kind of like Eli's kind of been on the downside of being like two touchdowns behind, and then he sort of just goes through the motions. Well, if it happens, it happens. It doesn't. But Daniel Jones really wanted to win his first game, and he says, I saw green grass in front of me, and I just went for it, and he did, and he scored the touchdown. It was a perfect cap. Very happy for Giants fans. They've waited a long time. Who you got, Jono, out of the top performers?
Mullen, my top performer, I guess I want to talk about, is Alvin Kamara. A lot of people were hitting the panic button when Breeze got hurt, saying, you know, Kamara's value is going to tank. You know, everybody can key in on him now. And boy, were they wrong. Kamara was the number two running back this week, you know, behind former teammate Mark Ingram, who scored three touchdowns. But Kamara had 69 rushing yards and a touchdown, 10 targets, caught 9 passes for 92 yards and another touchdown. No ill effects. And he had the highest snap count of his career this week. I believe it was up at 88%, the highest snap rate of his entire career. They're going to lean on him. And like we said last week, the efficiency may go down, but the volume is going to go way, way up. And Kamara's still as valuable as ever, if not more.
I saw him make some really excellent moves against the Seahawks defense. He was making Seahawks defenders miss, and that's not easy. Seahawks have a pretty stout defense, and he was making guys miss. The one concern, I think, when we're talking about Alvin Kamara is, of course, Latavius Murray. He's kind of losing out. He's turned into basically just a cuff, John.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever thought that Latavius Murray was going to step right into that Mark Ingram role and be as successful as he was. But yeah, they're phasing him out. I don't think Latavius Murray has the kind of talent to be able to say, hey, let me step in with, you know, Teddy Bridgewater at QB and I can produce the same way I was. But Kamara is that kind of guy. So I think they're going to lean on Kamara and they need the wins.
Yeah. Speaking of leaning on the running game, and this kind of ties in with Dalvin Cook, is Adam Thielen finally got a decent fantasy line, and Stephon Diggs is still waiting for something to happen. But Kirk Cousins, after the first 2 weeks, Kirk Cousins was the 32nd quarterback for pass attempts. Do you believe it? He was actually the bottom.
I mean, he didn't have to pass for the first week. I think he had about 10 pass attempts in week one, so that's automatically going to skew everything.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the less you pass, the less there is for guys like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs is really feeling it. The fact that Kirk Cousins isn't throwing enough. But Adam Thielen finally got something, and he made use of his only 3 receptions, 55 yards, but he got a touchdown. That was enough to put him at number 8 wide receiver for the week. That'll be number 9 because Taylor Gabriel zipped up to number 3, and he's left the game, and as it's just been reported, so for some kind of injury. But a big day for Taylor Gabriel tonight against the Redskins. Do you think the pass attempts will go up, or do you think it's just let's just play the run and try to win? But I don't know. It doesn't seem to be a complete strategy, because the obvious thing for the Minnesota Vikings, they want to win. And although Dalvin Cook has been running well, he ran well against Green Bay, and in the first game, you know, of course, he was a monster. As you say, only 10 pass attempts in that one. For Minnesota to win, they're going to have to open up the passing game a little bit more. I mean, if they want to be competitive, Kirk Cousins has to be a little higher than 32nd, in pass attempts.
Yeah. I mean, whatever works for them, right? They're playing well. And if it works, it works. Doesn't, you know, they'll change it up. But right.
Well, I suppose they will, but I want them to change it up because, I want Diggs and Thielen to get more involved. I mean, this is the first week that, you know, I could sort of hang my hat on Adam Thielen a little bit. So this is, and you know, that really isn't a very fantastic line, 3 receptions, 55 yards and a touchdown, but it's enough to keep, you know, your fantasy, you know, your fantasy life going with Adam Thielen. But Stephon Diggs, not looking good, not looking good right now at all until that changes. So there's hope yet, folks. Hang on to, don't give up on Stephon Diggs. Well, you're not giving up on Stephon Diggs, are you, Donald?
No, it's hard to give up on the guy, but he has not been good. We can say that. He has not lived up to expectations.
Yeah, he is getting the targets. I have to say, he is getting the targets, but he's not coming down with them. Not yet, anyway. Who's your next guy?
My next guy is Cooper Kupp. There were some concerns early in the season with him. People are saying, you know, he's the number 3 receiver. He's coming off an ACL injury. He's not going to be consistent. He's not going to do what he was doing last year. He's looking like the Rams wide receiver 1. He's been consistent. He's getting red zone targets since the Rams don't really utilize a tight end. And he's looked great. Was the 3rd highest scoring receiver this week. And look for him to be even better moving on as, you know, he continues to recover from an ACL injury.
Yeah, I like Cooper Kupp. I moved him up substantially in my Fantasy Pros rest of season rankings. He's gone up quite substantially, mainly because of the targets. The targets are growing for him. It seems like he's kind of like the Edelman of the Rams, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, through 3 games, he has 10, 9, and 12 targets. I don't really say this a lot about players in fantasy specifically, but Cooper Kupp might be one of those rare players that you buy high, because you don't see many, you know, slot receivers getting double-digit targets a game as good red zone options.
Yeah,
and Kupp is that, for sure.
I've moved him up to WR12.
Wide receiver 1 territory.
Yeah, he's getting up there behind Chris Godwin and Adam Thielen and Brandon Cooks. The guy who is going down is, which I'm going to talk about in a bit. I'll mention him, but he's still ahead of him. We'll talk about that. I can leave it a mystery for now. But yeah, like Cooper Kupp, is definitely a guy on the move and doing very well in that offense. He belongs. My guy is, I want to talk about Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is the only one of the big 3 of Ertz and Kittle that made the top 10 tight ends. Continues to be involved despite everything else that's been going on with Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and DeMarcus Robinson. Travis Kelce is still getting the looks from Mahomes. He's a steady Eddie on that offense. 7 receptions, 89 yards. Didn't get a touchdown this week, but they'll come. Travis Kelce's still the tight end 1 you want, so there's absolutely no worries in that. There's room for taking Chiefs still, so there's no worries about Travis Kelce. It was a little bit worrying because he didn't get his first catch until well into the game. So Patrick Mahomes wasn't relying on him early, but he always goes back to him. He's his bread and butter guy. And like I say, the other guys that are kind of a concern, it was George Kittle and Zach Ertz going down. Especially, I found it strange about Ertz, actually, because Ertz is on the Eagles, who have a lot of injuries at the moment. So I was kind of surprised at Ertz not getting, maybe not getting better targets. He was still getting his share, but he wasn't getting the good share of it. It seemed to be all going to Aguilar, who, by the way, made the top 10. Actually, he'll be out of the top 10, but just outside the top 10, Nelson Aguilar this week. But thoughts on Kelce and his progression?
You can't really be worried about Travis Kelce. He's still got 7 targets, 89 yards, and he's still a part of the best offense in the league. Just because he's not, you know, scoring the 100 yards and 3 touchdowns everybody was expecting from him in the preseason doesn't mean that we need to be worried. Kelce's still the TE1. Probably the obviously the most consistent tight end out there. If you have him, you're in good shape.
Yeah, you are in good shape. There was the point I was making is that he's the only one of the top three who's been consistently making the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, Kittle and Ertz, they're going to pick it up. I think Kittle is just probably trying to get used to Garoppolo again. And Ertz, I don't know. But Ertz is Ertz talented enough. If I have those three, I'm not worried. Everybody, you know, everybody slumps sometimes. Those three are fine. Garoppolo's not going to get away throwing it to Dante Pettis and Deebo Samuel the entire season.
No. Right. And who's your next guy?
My next and last guy is Darren Waller, tight end for the Raiders. He has been everything advertised in Hard Knocks and more. Super, super consistent plays and runs routes on a ton of the Raiders. The Raiders plays. That's what you want in tight end. You want them on the field and you want them running routes. And he does. Last week was his just a great game. He had 14 targets against the Vikings, 134 yards, and it's just he looks to be one of the most, again, consistent options because he's getting the targets and he is very obviously Derek Carr's favorite target out there. And he's going to continue being a good option, and he could finish the season as a top five tight end.
Yeah, he caught 13 of those 14 targets, right?
Yep.
And that's a pretty good catch percentage. So, and I do believe, if I'm mistaken, I could be getting him mixed up with somebody else. He was a wide receiver originally who became a tight end.
Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know for sure, but that would not surprise me whatsoever.
So, I'm not so sure on that, and anybody can check me on that. I could be getting him mixed up with somebody else, but I think that is the case. That is our last guy, and that is our lowdown on the we'll talk about a few of these other players in a bit, like of other players that are moving on up. I think I would be remiss if we didn't mention Greg Olsen, but Greg Olsen is back, sort of, we think, and definitely worth a pickup. He was the top tight end this week, Greg Olsen. Top wide receiver, Mike Evans. Top running back, Mark Ingram, with 3 touchdowns. Kevin's not here to gloat over that, so I guess that's pretty good. The only thing I mean,
can he really gloat when the Ravens still lost? It's not...
That's true. That's true. You can't really gloat if they lost, but Mark Ingram is still looking like a beast. And sadly, it looks like Justice Hill looks like he's just in the background. Gus Edwards still seeing more looks than he is, so don't know what to say about that. And Russell Wilson, numero uno quarterback, just a beast of a day. Over 41 fantasy points, like, ran it in twice, did a favor for fantasy teams by scoring a touchdown with no time remaining on the clock. I think it was an untimed down, and he still threw a touchdown to Will Dissly, who was another, who actually, Will Dissly was number 6 on the tight ends this week. Worth a pickup?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The beginning of last season, Dissly was looking like Wilson's, you know, go-to red zone target, and it's picked up again. Dissly looks healthier than he did in week 1, and he's getting the targets again. Definitely a tight end pickup.
Yeah, a new name on this list, of course, is that I didn't mention is Dawson Knox of the Bills. Had a very good game. He was 7th this week with where is he here? Knox. Well, 15 fantasy points, half PPR. Not bad.
Good game.
Yeah, good game. Jordan Akins of Houston. 20 fantasy points. So he was number 3. So just a few names just thrown out there. But let's move on to time for our panic button segment. Time to panic. I am panicking about, and I was about to mention him, I'm a little bit panicky about Davante Adams. Not getting, he had a 100-yard game previously. He still doesn't have a touchdown. He's kind of going through this thing like Julio was going through before. And I actually kind of thought this would be the game that Davante Adams would break out for this year, his first big game, but it wasn't to be. I think he had something like 66 yards. Still, you know, he got 66 yards and he still produced, but not at the level what you kind of want a WR1 to produce. Thoughts on, I even said to Adam Rank on Twitter, I think you should hand me the key to the panic button for Devontae Adams in case I need it. What do you think about this, Jono?
I mean, it's tough to say panic on him. I think the Green Bay offense is in a weird state of flux right now, trying to get used to Matt LaFleur's plays after so long with Mike McCarthy and his scheming. But Adams, his talent will win out. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to continue, you know, throwing it to Marquez Valdez-Scantling so frequently, especially out-targeting Adams 10-4. It's a weird decision. Aaron Rodgers already come out and said that, you know, the offense needs to be better. So I think things are going to change, and Adams is going to get more looks moving forward.
Well, Adam Rodgers, I've actually moved him down to QB 15 for the rest of the season. Now, this is the reason why, is that he's had fantasy points of, this is in half PPR, well, quarterbacks aren't involved in half PPR scoring, but they're just the same as standard, but 13, 14, and 13 fantasy points. He hasn't had a 300-yard game yet, four touchdowns in that span. He's just basically had 203, 209, 235 yards. That's not Aaron Rodgers to me. Those aren't Aaron Rodgers numbers to me. Those are QB2 numbers to me, Jono.
Nah, I mean, you can't downgrade Aaron Rodgers to QB2. Things will pick up. It's Aaron Rodgers will work things out. Even if it start playing, calling plays himself, he'll work it out.
But you're the one who brought up the Matt LaFleur offense. I'm just wondering if this is because there has been some talk that Aaron Rodgers is not happy. He's the most unhappy 3-0 quarterback.
I think if there's ever tension between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, you know that the Packers brass is siding with Aaron Rodgers. So one way or another, Rodgers is going to get his way.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, well, we hope he will. And who have you got? Who are you panicking on, Jono?
I am panicking on Sony Michel. This was supposed to be his week to finally, you know, come through. James White was out with the birth of his child. They were facing the Jets, who, you know, the Patriots were beating up on. And at the end of the day, he rushed just 9 times, 11 yards. His day was completely saved by a touchdown. But Michel he's not a big part of the game plan. He was against Miami for obvious reasons, but he fumbled in that game toward the end. And of course, we know how Belichick punishes people for fumbling.
Yeah.
Never forgets Stevon Ridley, who was their RB1 for years, fumbled once and then was promptly kicked out of the league after Belichick was done with him. So I think in two of the three games against non-Miami opponents, Michel's averaging 1 yard per carry. You know, he doesn't catch the ball. The Patriots' offensive line is struggling. And Rex Burkhead provides a much more versatile player that's looked much, much better behind a weaker offensive line. And I think, Michel, if somebody's looking to buy him from you, then do it immediately, because I don't see how it's going to get that much better with the way the Patriots' offense is running right now.
Yeah. He had one fantasy point against Pittsburgh, 13 fantasy points against Miami, and just, like you say, 9 carries for 11 yards, 1 target, didn't get anything from it. But he did score a touchdown to save his bacon against the Jets. But I guess you can take that touchdown as part of your... is a way to move on from Michel. See, he scored a touchdown, but...
If somebody believes you, then go ahead.
If somebody believes you, yeah. But those numbers, those aren't too great. I guess I could also mention that I almost think that there's a bit of a problem with, you know, you mentioned fumbles, and that kind of brought Chris Carson to mind, that he had some fumbles on Sunday, and they brought in Procise. Actually, the one fumble that he had resulted in a touchdown for the Saints. He just left it on the ground, and the Saints player went in. It was a bit of a funny play. It was one of those plays where you kind of think the ref is going to blow it dead. He didn't blow it dead, but the play continued on, and the Saints scored a touchdown, and they upheld it. It was very close, It was very close. His knee was almost down, but under review, the ball was clearly just coming out before his knee came down, and the Saints player picked it was just a duck sitting on the ground. So naturally, a Saints player was like I say, a duck on a June bug, got that football and ran it in for a touchdown. A little bit concerning about Chris Carson, Jono. Do you think Carroll will keep him in the doghouse? Or I don't think he can, not with Penny out.
No, I mean, I don't think he's in danger of losing his job. Carroll's already come out and said that you know, they still believe in him and they're still going to play him. So I don't really see it as a huge issue unless he does it again and fumbles for a fourth straight week or a fourth time in 4 weeks.
Yeah, because he's had three straight already.
Yeah, but for now, like you said, with the depth issues and with Procise already being a very, very injury-prone player, they're still going to have to lean on Carson, at least until Penny comes back.
Let's take a look at the production, though. 18 fantasy points in week one against Cincinnati and 7 against Pittsburgh and then 3 against New Orleans. He had 15 carries in each of those games with 46 yards, 60 yards, and 53 yards. These are kind of tepid fantasy points, really. He's not really the guy you paid for.
I mean, he's still getting 15 carries a game, which is what you paid for. It's good, you know, healthy number of carries. The game kind of got away from the Seahawks against the Saints. Russell Wilson was forced to throw, which is why he was the number one quarterback this week. He was forced to throw, forced to finally start running again. And bad week for Carson, but they got the Cardinals next week. And if Penny's not playing, I expect Carson to have a big game.
So I got a little off track there. My other panic button guy is Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield. What is it about the Browns? The Browns, they've got, I mentioned it in my weekend preview. The Browns are like a team, like when you buy packed furniture, but the assembly diagram isn't there and you're trying to put together a thing without an assembly diagram. That's exactly what the Browns are. They've got all the weapons and everything, but it doesn't seem like Kitchens knows how to put it together. I don't think Kitchens is a very good coach, to be honest.
I don't know what changed between last year and this year. The offense looked good last year, and then Kitchens, I don't know what changed, but yeah, they don't look good. I think the epitome of the, I guess, a what are you doing kind of thing is first and goal inside the 5, and they ran 4 straight pass plays. And Chubb, they didn't even have Nick Chubb in the backfield. They ran empty sets on 4 consecutive plays from inside the 5. It doesn't make any sense. You're putting Baker in bad situations.
And Chubb was running good in that game as well.
Yep. It doesn't make sense. The play calling needs to change. I think they have to change up the philosophy. Because obviously Chubb is a good player. He can take some pressure off Baker and make things easier for everybody involved. So we'll see what they do. But until something changes, you can't really play Baker as your starter. You just can't.
Yeah, he's worrying me because numbers like 12 fantasy points, 16 fantasy points, and 11 fantasy points. Baker Mayfield is one of those quarterbacks you drafted sort of on the, you know, he's one of those first quarterbacks, one of the first 5 or 6 quarterbacks, you know, that off the board. And that kind of production, I mean, 195 yards in his last game. Now granted, the game against the Jets, now the Jets were terrible, but he did get 325 yards in that game, but he still had an interception. But he's got 5 interceptions on the season, and that's not very good. Baker's not playing now. I think we can talk about Kitchens in the same breath, but the play calling. Apparently, Kitchens says, I'm still going to do the play calling. That's what I happened to read on Twitter. But
not great.
No, it's not. It's not. The Browns are... For some reason, the Browns, like, they're trying to be the Browns again. They got to get out of this thinking. They got to think that we're a new team. We're not the Hugh Jackson Browns anymore. We're the, you know? So, because the Hugh Jackson Browns, well, we know all of it. We had many a joke and many a laugh last year over the Hugh Jackson Browns. And the Hugh Jackson Browns, just awful. Anyways, panicking on Baker Mayfield. You got another guy you're panicking on, Jono?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's, I don't know, ranked high enough or owned in enough leagues to panic on, but does Tarik Cohen count? He's still 86% owned in Yahoo.
Tarik Cohen, yeah, I guess he counts. He was, he did. I'll just take a look and see how he did this week.
Bad. He scored 2 fantasy points.
2 fantasy points, that's it?
Oof. 4 rushes for -2 yards. Eek. Spectacular.
I don't think David Montgomery did that well either.
Montgomery broke off a 25-yard run in garbage time to kind of save his day. 13 carries, 67 yards, and then 3 catches, 14 yards. So not terrible, but the Bears needed to start using him more. You're facing the Redskins. They have the second worst rushing D in the league, and David Montgomery had 6 carries going into the fourth quarter. That's embarrassing.
That is terrible. Because
at one point, Cordero Patterson had more carries than he did. It's absolutely embarrassing.
Oh, not Patterson.
Yep.
You don't want Patterson. That's like Ty Montgomery getting more carries than Le'Veon Bell.
It's such a weird thing, too. The Bears got inside the 3 on 3 separate occasions, and Taylor Gabriel had 2 touchdowns off of just passes from inside the 3. I mean, it worked, but it's super frustrating for Montgomery owners to see that.
I don't know if I like these Pagano Bears. These Pagano Bears, I'm not so hot on them. Not as good as I kind of thought. I mean, I actually thought Trubisky would be a little bit better than... Oh, his numbers are just... after first 2, I don't know how they come out today, but he's nowhere in the top 20. I don't see his name. Pardon me, I did mention him before. Actually, he's number 14. He did do a little bit better because he was getting some passes to like Gabriel, and I'm not sure of the day that that Allen Robinson had. But what did Allen Robinson have? Do you have that?
Give me 1 second. I just closed the tab.
last
I checked, he had 6 catches for 60 yards. Give me 2 seconds here. He finished the day with 6 catches for 60 yards.
All right. It's not bad in half PPR or full PPR, you know, of course.
Hey, let's talk about Terry McLaurin. Against the Bears defense, he had 6 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown. Garbage time was friendly to him, and if you're getting 70 yards and a TD against the Bears and Washington's force feeding you the ball like this, you're a must start next week against the Giants. 100%.
Yes. By the way, I want to pass along the Chicago 31-15 final over the Redskins. Redskins go to 0-3. Chicago Bears 2-1. Yeah, Terry McLaurin. Yeah, we could talk about him for a little bit. He's kind of
that's all I had.
I guess he's one of your moving on ups, isn't he?
He definitely is. Yes. Like I said, the first 2 weeks, the Washington was obviously trying to get him the ball. This week was the real test to see what he was like matchup wise. Of course, going against the Bears defense, still managed 70 yards and a touchdown. And the schedule gets far easier from here on out. Next week they have the Giants, and he's at this point, McLaurin's a must start until proven otherwise, which of course means that he's going to bomb next week and then bomb again against New England.
Well, you do see these streaks come to an end, though, don't we, Jono?
But the volume is good.
It is.
The volume is there, and Washington obviously trusts him. And he's got Miami in week 6. So if he fails you in the next 2 weeks, he's got Miami in week 6. So we know he's good for a bunch.
Yeah, everybody looks forward to playing Miami. But DeAndre Hopkins is off to such a slow start. And you know why? You know why DeAndre Hopkins? It's because Deshaun Watson's getting sacked so much.
We knew the offensive line was going to be a problem.
Yeah, not this much of a problem. He's getting sacked like 6 or 7 times a game. I don't know how many times he's been sacked. It's an awful lot. And when you're getting sacked, you're not throwing the ball. You can't get the ball down deep. If you're not given time to get the ball to your best receiver, he's just got no time. There's none. I can't stand Bill O'Brien. I really don't like that coach.
He's not great, but this is probably his last chance at it, considering the talent that Houston has and the assets they've poured into acquiring this team. This is his last shot.
Yeah, I also will say this too. Kiki Kuti is going down. I think Kenny Stills moves up. We briefly talked about Mike Evans. You know, he and Chris Godwin are so close. I don't know if Mike Evans can keep up that. I have him at WR6 rest of season, And but I'm kind of wondering whether that might be a little bit optimistic, because he had the breakout game against the Giants, 190 yards. But before that, he like had 28 and 61. And it's actually Godwin. Who do you like more, Godwin or Evans?
I think you have to trust Evans that he'll break through. Obviously, they made a point to get him the ball last week with that monstrous performance. I think until we see it otherwise, they're pretty even. But if I was choosing, I'd probably lean on the side of Evans.
Yeah, I think I might be a little bit optimistic. But OBJ, again, kind of worrisome for him. Although he did get 161 yards against the Jets, but only 56 yards against the Rams and 71 yards against Tennessee. We're talking 7 fantasy points, 22 and 6 in half PPR. It's kind of a little inconsistent. And again, well, this goes back to the Baker Mayfield thing and so forth, but we've gone over that already. So what else we got, Jono?
My last moving up, I guess, is Sterling Shepard. We talked about Daniel Jones earlier in the show. I guess in a new look Giants offense, Shepard looked great. He had 9 targets, 100 yards, a touchdown, and a 2-point conversion. Him and Jones looked like they had good rapport. He was working well all over the field. And hey, new quarterback, new look wide receiver, and Shepard will, he's going to produce. So long as Jones doesn't fall off a cliff at some point, Shepard will be good.
Yeah, I don't think there's any problem. I don't have any problem with that. I just want to check his numbers before. Okay, he was off last week because of an injury. What was his injury? Was it a concussion or what was it?
Yeah, it was the concussion.
He's in the concussion program. That's right. So he was off last week. So he had 20 fantasy points with Daniel Jones, and he had 4 fantasy points in the opening week with Eli Manning, 42 receiving. Not too great. Well, that's our week 3. What are we looking for in league 3? You're the waiver guy. Who are we picking up on waivers, Jono, before we go?
I think we've talked about a bunch of them already. Obviously, if you need a quarterback, Daniel Jones, Kyle Allen, running back, Wayne Gallman coming in for Saquon. I think the big, I'm going to go with one of my, the deep league one, Preston Williams. I know he's a Dolphin. Don't kill me yet. He got 12 targets last week from Josh Rosen. The two of them obviously had worked together a lot over the summer. Coming in, he has the most rapport with Rosen, and he's going to get peppered because the Dolphins are going to be behind in every game. They got to throw it to somebody, and Preston Williams looked like that guy.
You know, I don't want to. I kind of take issue every time somebody says, "Oh, the Dolphins are going to have to. They're going to be coming from behind. They're going to have to throw the ball." You know, that on a lot of other teams who actually have an offense that works. You know, like say for instance, like a team like the Raiders, perhaps. You know,
it's not like they're running the ball particularly well either. So
no, they're not. They're another story. Josh Jacobs, he's kind of a moving on down guy for me. He's just not getting enough. He's all ground. He's not getting enough. Stuff through the air. At least for the PPR formats. So he's kind of he's. Even in standard, he seems a little bit shaky, but let me throw a couple of names at you that I kind of am. You know, you said, what was the guy that the Dolphins you just mentioned now?
Preston Williams.
The other guy this guy's on the Colts. I want to get your thoughts on Deion Kane and Paris Campbell. These two guys, they intrigue me, these two, especially if T.Y. Hilton. Is T.Y. Hilton, I just got to check his status at the moment. He is, he exited the game with a quad injury. So if he's out, should we pick up Paris Campbell or Deion Kane, or what should we do? If Hilton's out, who's the pickup?
I think at the moment, both of them are very, very risky pickups. You can't really trust either of them until we know how the targets are going to kind of shake out.
Right.
But of the two, I would prefer Paris Campbell. He was the one getting more, I guess, talk during the offseason. He was learning the playbook really well, according to coaches. And he did have a touchdown catch in week 2. he was playing, decent amount, I guess. Not a whole lot, But when Hilton was healthy, I think of the two, Campbell's the option.
Right. So he's the next up man. So is he a guy that we should he's the guy we should pick up for Wednesday morning?
If you're in a deeper league, yes, I think Campbell's a good option if you're in a deeper league. But I think in like 10-team or shallower leagues, he's not really somebody you should, maybe a flyer, but not a priority pickup in shallower leagues, not yet.
Right, but if of course if T.Y. Hilton is out, somebody's got to catch the ball, right?
Yeah, Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle. What, the tight end duo?
Yes, pick one of them up. Tight end, Jack Doyle.
Yeah, because I'm struggling to look as after Paris Hilton. Again, I talk about Paris Campbell, Paris Hilton. After T.Y. Hilton. No, I got this picture of Paris Hilton in my head now. It's like, you know, it's got to get my mind back on football. T.Y. Hilton. After T.Y. Hilton, so it seems like it's a long drop for the next wide receiver on the team.
I mean, the next guy was supposed to be Devin Funchess, and he's not healthy. He broke his collarbone, so he's out. Yeah. Funchess would have been a good, the priority pickup, but we have no idea if Campbell or Kane can consistently produce as, you know, a number one and two wide receiver. So that's the only reason I'm kind of hesitant. But of course, if you're in a deeper league, like, and there's no other options, then of course, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll pick up Paris Hilton.
Paris. Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah, Paris Hilton's definitely a priority pickup. Paris Campbell, folks. Sorry for the levity, but it's kind of funny how that works. But anyway, it's one of the things when we do in the podcast. Well, Jono, been a smash. Want to thank, hopefully Kevin Hole will be back with us next week for week four, because this is our, for week five. Gee, the weeks are flying by, aren't they, Jono? So hopefully Kevin will be back with us next week. Make sure you check out the Fantasy Six Pack Hour with Joe Bond, plus the other numerous podcasts that are coming out. I don't know, there's good hope. We've got three or four podcasts at the site with different people. Joe does one on Sunday. He's doing a whole bunch of Milos potting. So be sure to check out the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. That's his main one. That's on Fridays with AJ Applegarth. And be sure to also check out the rest of the articles, including Jono's waiver wire pickups tomorrow to find out the details on all these players that we talked about on the show tonight. So, for Jonathan Chan, I'm Richard Seville. Be sure to join us next week on the Fantasy Edge. Take care, everybody, and good luck.